You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. It's Football Friday. Let's do this thing. We've got a bowl game going on as we speak. The old D is up a 10th spot on Eastern Michigan, a lower scoring football game in the Bahamas. The Popeyes Bahamas Bowl taking place as we speak. We'll keep our eye on that for you. Steve Merrill's going to join me in a couple of minutes. We've got Louisiana Tech and Navy kicking off in a couple of hours time in the Armed Forces Bowl in the Fort Worth, Dallas area. I think that game's where TCU actually plays, whatever, a suburb of Dallas, but not in Cowboy Stadium. And tonight we got the Dollar Store Bowl, man. The Dollarama Bowl, the Dollar General Bowl, whatever the hell it's called. I don't know, man. Eastern Michigan gets to go to the Bahamas, and Ohio is actually better, and they go to Mobile, Alabama. I've been to Mobile, Alabama, all right? The Bahamas is cooler. Hey, it is what it is. We're going to run the gauntlet with Steve. We'll talk some bowl games. We'll talk some NFL games. And, you know, listen, we all like to lay down on the bowls, but the National Football League regular season is winding down. Of course, it's fantasy championship weekend. Greg Sussman will join us. We'll talk some fantasy football with Greg Sussman, my main man from sportsmemo.com. Bobano will step up and in and join us. We'll talk a little bowls and some NFL football with Bobano. As I stated, only 2 weeks left in the National Football League regular season, which means it's time for some bold predictions of the week. Now, I got to admit, last week we were a little flat with our bold predictions. I didn't really see a lot of upsets happening on the board, and our prediction of the Detroit Lions ended up being flatter than a Romanian gymnast. Not only did they not win the game outright, they couldn't even cover, which is baffling because they were playing Eli Manning and the New York Giants. Like, I can't believe, like, the Giants, they were 8-1 against the spread going into the game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Somehow the Eagles were favorites. I've been around the block enough times to know that it was a freaking trap, man. And I walked right into the trap. But what do we say all week? Who's the weakest link on the New York Giants? I'll tell you who the weakest link is. The Capital City Goofball. That's who the weakest link is. The Capital City Goofball, a.k.a. Eli Manning. As I've stated in the past, the only punk-ass two-time Super Bowl champion and still gets ID'd when he goes to the clubs because he looks like a stupid lost 8-year-old. And he plays like a stupid lost 8-year-old. I don't know what the hell McAdoo is doing. You know, coaching his $2 haircut on the sidelines, staring down at the, maybe I'll go for it here. No, let's kick a field goal now. No. And how about the pathetic referees? But nevertheless, this isn't who ruined my Thursday, is it? No, it's time for some bowl predictions. So let's start off. Prediction number one, the Panthers. The Panthers are going to beat the Atlanta Falcons. That's right. The Atlanta Falcons ruined the Panthers' perfect season last year, and they beat them earlier this year. The Carolina Panthers, I thought they had tapped out, but I think they want to finish 8-8. They're not mathematically out of the playoffs yet. Yet we all know they're not making the playoffs. But nevertheless, they don't like the Atlanta Falcons. It's a division game. Panthers on a little bit of a roll right now, and Cam is one of these modern athletes. If he's in a good mood, he'll play well, and if he's not, he won't. He seems to be having fun again the last couple of weeks. There's bowl prediction number one. And the fact of the matter is, we have a ton of games on the board this week in which there are road teams laying 3 points. So we're getting muddy. We're getting plus 135 with the Carolina Panthers. There's bowl prediction number one. The Panthers beat the Falcons outright. All right, prediction number two. This is bolder than Craig Sager's suits were. And rest in peace. Craig, you're one of the best. All right, this is pretty bold. This is a leap of faith. I've been down this road a couple of times, but it's not like I've told you guys to take the Cleveland Browns every week or anything like that. But I'm telling you to take the Cleveland Browns this week because it sure as hell ain't happening next week. They're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers next week in Pittsburgh. They're not winning against Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. This is it, like Huey Lewis said. This is it. This is it. All right. What is it? This is it. Please let me know. Please let me know if you're not going to suck this week so I don't have to bet on you. I fell for the trap a couple of weeks ago when that jackass loser Andy Dalton went in there. And I was like, God, the Bengals blow. The Browns can beat them. I was wrong, all right? The Browns are terrible. They really are one of the worst teams in the history of football. But nevertheless, only one team ever has only lost all 16 games. Tampa before was 14 games. So only the Detroit Lions have lost 16 games before. I'm going to play the mathematical chances that the Cleveland Browns could beat a San Diego Charger team who's beaten down. You know, listen, we got a 5-9 football team laying points on the road here. I'm taking the plus 180 on the money line with the Cleveland Browns, and we're not done. We're not done yet. You want bold? This is bolder than naming your kids soda. All right, we're gonna take the Chicago Bears on the money line against the Washington Redskins. I thought Kirk Cousins was a top tier quarterback. I was wrong. Choke job the other night. You know, the only quarterback worse in that division in that punk Eli Manning is Kirk Cousins. You like that, Kirk? You know what? Kirk's not all that bad, but the Washington Redskins can't stop the run. Jordan Howard's running the ball down teams' throats. Don't look now, man, but the Chicago Bears have covered 5 weeks in a row. Don't look now, but the Chicago Bears have covered 6 of their last 7 football games. Not only going to cover this football game, they're going to beat a Washington Redskins team that is just 2-10 all time at Soldier Field. The Chicago Bears win on the money line. And finally, in closing, I don't really don't know. This doesn't really feel bold, but the fact of the matter is we're getting plus 160 on the money line. You got to be kidding me. Everybody's buying in right now to the New Orleans Saints like they're going to the Super Bowl or something like that. Yeah, Drew Brees looked great the other week. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a better team. The Bucs beat them a couple of weeks ago, and they're going to beat them again, and we're going to cash it on the money line. And we'll wrap it up with something just a little bit bolder as well. The Dallas Cowboys have wrapped up home field right now because Eli Manning sucks rocks. So the Dallas Cowboys have home field wrapped up. They're not playing for anything anymore. The Detroit Lions will beat the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We are live. Show replays at 5:30. Replays at 5 o'clock on the Fantasy Sports Network radio networks. Want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays, Kwanzaa, and everything else just to be politically correct, all right? So everybody's happy, except people that have the over in this Bahamas Bowl. I got to tell you, this is a pathetic display of offense that I'm watching right now. This is an embarrassment to a fine restaurant like Popeye's. All right? You got that nice, sweet Popeye's lady talking about how proud she is if they're associated with the Bahamas Bowl. You guys are doing nothing. Although I see Old Dominion just threw a bomb. Let's get some points here. Let's bring in Steve Merrill, who I think is as frustrated as I am about this. What's going on, Steve?
Well, they give you a TV finally in the studio?
No, I got a laptop here.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I was on the Christmas wish list. A clock and a TV. Got neither.
Festivus for the rest of us.
I asked for some Christmas decorations. They gave me a Charlie Brown like twig yesterday.
That's fantastic. Need a lump of coal to complete the set.
And I got to tell you, I'm really in the holiday spirit, Steve. Like, this bowl game's really pissing me off. The Giants-Eagles game really pissed me off. Like, I'm not going to lie. You know, whatever. I don't have any kids, so I'm not caught up in any sort of Christmas type of stuff. But, yeah, I'm more Grinch-like right now. I'm not feeling any Christmas spirit in these bowl games. And all these football games are just really upsetting me, man.
This game was interesting today because Old Dominion obviously never in a bowl game, so we knew they were excited. But Eastern Michigan hadn't been in one since 1987. You know, so you had two motivated teams, and I guess the defenses have come to play. We always talk about the overs being worth a look in these meaningless bowl games because no teams care. I guess that wasn't the situation today, as these teams obviously cared.
Well, you know what it is, too, Steve. You know, you never know with the layoff, right? When you get teams that are off for 3 weeks, it changes everything. They lose that offensive momentum. You know, we can't discount that, but yeah, it's unbelievable. You figure, and especially with the history of the Bahamas Bowl, the long history, Steve, of two games before.
Right.
But both games were track meets, right? And that's why these teams got brought here. You know, the Bahamas Bowl source of ones wants to carve that niche out is we're a high-scoring, entertaining game.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. You know, we always joke about the Holiday Bowl going over the total for so many years, but it makes a lot of sense. I mean, the last thing these bowl committees want is a 10-7 defensive battle. You know, it's like in baseball. People want to see runs. They want to see home runs. They want to see scores in meaningless football games. And then you add in the fact it's a huge distraction being in the Bahamas. It really is a vacation for the teams. It makes sense that the other games have been high scoring. And we'll see what happens. It's almost halftime now. You know, this re-airs in 3 hours. Will probably be 90 points scored. Everybody will be wondering what we're talking about and complaining about.
Yeah, I hope so. Let's hope so.
Hopefully we're doing a little reverse kiss of death here.
Yeah, Old Dominion just got stopped on third down. It's unbelievable. Well,
that's the other thing, too. They drove almost 8 minutes in the first drive and got 3 points, you know, and then they punted them deep. So, you know, the teams have moved the ball a little bit. It's just been some bad luck as far as the positioning.
Oh, yeah, it's just great. All right, so Armed Forces Bowl, Steve. Fort Worth, Dallas. We have Louisiana Tech. Man, it's amazing that the number 7, isn't it? People really, yeah. I mean, you know, Navy are arguably the better football team. They can run the football more efficiently. But without being stated, everything's changed without Will Worth at quarterback. Since he's been gone, I mean, the offense hit the wall when he got hurt early in that game against Temple, and they got run out of the building. And then we saw they lost for the first time in 14 freaking years to Army outright. With the Zach Abbey kid at quarterback. Not to pick on Zach Abbey, but the offense isn't the same. And we know Louisiana Tech can score on anybody, Steve. What's your take?
This game is interesting because Navy would have been a favorite in this game normally before the injuries. And even last week before the Army-Navy game, Navy was still about a one-point favorite on the look-ahead line, even with the backup quarterback. And then he struggled against Army. They lost outright, and they reopened the game Louisiana Tech -3.5. Now it's 7.5. The money just keeps coming in. But you're right, with full strength, Navy would probably be favored in this game. So how much is Worth really worth? He was a very good player this year, 25 rushing touchdowns. Abbey, though, played better in the second half. Keep in mind, Navy outscored Army 17-7 in that second half. Now they have several weeks to prepare. So I think they'll be a better offensive team than people expect. The question is, can they stop Louisiana Tech? And I don't think they can. I like Louisiana Tech to win this game. I don't like laying 7.5. I would have liked maybe 6.5 or less, which the number was earlier this week. But a lot of uncertainty here. I mean, if he plays as bad as he played against Temple in the first half against Army, LA Tech wins this by double digits. But if Navy plays like they did most of the season, this game really could go either way.
Yeah, you know, you're right. It's interesting. Is Will Worth really worth that many points? Louisiana Tech 8-5 straight up and against the number, 10-3 to the over this year. They're putting up 44 points per game. Navy 8-5 to the over. They score 37 points per game, but you know, is their offense going to be the same? We should note that Tech's defense is pretty soft. They give up 32 points per game, but I was looking at the numbers, Steve. They're more vulnerable through the air, Louisiana Tech. They only give up, they're pretty stout. They're ranked 30th in the country against the run.
Yeah, they only give up 3.7 yards per carry against teams that average 4.4. So they were a solid run defense this year. And then you add in the fact they have several weeks now to prepare for the option. I think the best way to play this game actually might be the Louisiana Tech total, the team total over, because the one constant is Navy's defense has been bad this year, and that has nothing to do with injuries. Louisiana Tech's offense, both running and passing, very explosive. So I think they'll get their points. The only question here is if Navy can move the ball or not. Just play Louisiana Tech team total over, and that might be the safest option.
Yeah, and the one thing with Navy, I mean, we know about the military kids. They're a different level of tough and mentally more prepared and tougher than other college kids are. But with that being stated, you and I talked about the letdown factor going into that Army game. They lose the conference championship game, Steve. They lose their quarterback. They lose to Army. There was thoughts of the Cotton Bowl. You know, I don't say well, I want to say that these military kids are ready to tap out, but there could be an enthusiasm gap here. You know what I mean?
Right, and the look-ahead line for the Army-Navy game was 12 before the Temple game, and then with the injuries, it closed around 4. So that once again moved a full touchdown, just like this game's moved a full touchdown, and it still wasn't enough. You know, so this substantial line move might be correct. I think the only question, the big question mark in this game is the extra time to prepare now. Will Navy's offense be better with 2 to 3 weeks of practice time as opposed to the Temple Army game where they were kind of thrown into the fire? But you're right. I mean, they were looking at maybe a Big Six bowl game had they beaten Temple and Army. They came in flat against Army, which is basically their bowl game. Hard to imagine they're going to be more focused for Louisiana Tech.
All right, the Dollar General Bowl tonight, Mobile, Alabama, Ohio, and Troy. As somebody that watches the MAC a lot, I'm aware that the MAC loses a lot in bowl games. They're 0-2 so far. I don't know how fair it is. I mean, Toledo and App State came down to the wire. It was a close football game. We saw Central Michigan get run out of the stadium. The Troy laying 4 points here, total 49. It's amazing. Ohio have been just monsters to the under. 11 unders this year. 11-1-1 to the under for the Ohio Bobcats. Totals 49. Mac versus the Sun Belt here. Troy, actually, were the first ever, I didn't realize this, Dave, they were the first ever Sun Belt team to appear in the top 25, as they briefly did earlier this year. They stumbled a little bit down the stretch. Interesting matchup. Ohio, out of all the MAC teams, Ohio are pretty good. They are physical, Ohio, at least. Like, they're not flaky, but still, hard not to like Troy here.
Yeah, I mean, how did Troy ever make the top 25? I mean, they're not even in the top 50 or 60.
Well, it goes to show, Steve, like, what I care about that AP and all that top 25 stuff, because I didn't even realize, like you said.
I didn't know.
You know, it's ridiculous, though. They don't mean anything, those polls. But you know, it's funny, Troy, where they, I didn't realize, it was the first time that a team from the Sun Belt was ever in the top 25.
Yeah, I had no clue they're in the top 25. It shows how much I pay attention to it as well, and it shows exactly why I don't pay attention. They lost 35-3 three games ago to Arkansas State as a 10-point favorite. they're a mediocre team, but the thing is, Ohio's just as mediocre. The reason the Bobcats were 11-1 of the under, their games totaled just 48.5 points this year combined. 22.5 offense, 26 defense. Very bad offensive team, good defense overall, though. This total around 49.5, so it's pretty low for a bowl game. However, both offenses below average, both defenses good. Hard to play it any other way. The one thing I will say about the line, my power rating's made it 4.5. It's around 5.5 now, so it's a little hefty. However, this game is in Mobile, Alabama, as you mentioned, so there'll probably be an in-state edge for Troy.
Yeah, and you know, there's not always that home field advantage, although, or the in-state advantage. It seemed to work out for Idaho last night. But yeah. I can't imagine, I mean, how many people are, how many Ohio Bobcat fans are excited to go spend Christmas, I guess you can get back home for Christmas, but essentially it's Christmas weekend. You want to go spend it in Mobile, Alabama, at the Dollar General Bowl? Like you said, Troy, at least an in-state team. So, yeah, I think Troy's got the advantage there. All right, let's talk some NFL football. And just like your Washington Capitals, Steve, the Washington Redskins choked, man. Like, man, what a, like, yeah, I don't like to use the word choke all the time because it's kind of a generic term, but the Redskins choked the other night. It was a putrid performance in all facets of the football game.
Well, they did lose to last year's Super Bowl favorite, although the Panthers haven't played like it this year. I'll tell you what's interesting about this game, though, is the travel situation. You talked about the Giants last night losing. We have consistently seen these road teams on Thursday night games struggle and underperform for several years now. You know, you look at the Raiders at Kansas City a few weeks ago, the Giants last night down big early. They're traveling and playing on 3 days rest. I bring that up because the Redskins played Monday night. Now they're having to play Saturday on the road. That's just 4 days travel and rest. It's just one day more than the normal Sunday to Thursday situation in which we see road teams really struggle. Chicago Bears, 1-4 their last five games, but they're a perfect 5-0 against the spread in those five games. And each of the last 2 weeks against Detroit and Green Bay, they lost by only 3 points each time. I think this is a dangerous spot for the Redskins. I think there could not only be a hangover from the Monday night loss, but it's also just a bad scheduling situation in general on the road.
Yeah, no, they realize they're screwed, the Redskins. It's not happening for the Skins. They do have that tie. And a tie is better than a loss, but they're not going to get to enough wins. And I think this is where they turn off the lights and the party's over. We're on the same page. I've noticed this, Steve. The Bears, it's addition through subtraction. They got Jay Cutler out of the room. It's crazy.
Yeah, Matt Barkley's played well.
They haven't won, but they've covered. We know they're not going to quit. John Fox isn't getting fired. Like, they're trying to build something here. They don't like Cutler. Cutler, finally, it's like, all right, you're gone. You're hurt. Bye-bye. You bring Matt Barkley in. Barkley's mediocre, but nevertheless, they're competing. Jordan Howard's doing a good job in the running back position. And what catches my eye here, Steve, is we saw that Redskin defense get killed, man. They couldn't stop the pass. Jonathan Stewart rushed for like 132 yards on him, 5.3 yards per clip. I think Jordan Howard's going to have a big game here. And Bears are 10-2 straight up all time at home against the Washington Redskins. I think the Bears beat them outright.
Yeah, and the Bears are 3-11 on the season. They've been outscored 18-23. But then look at yards per play. They average 6 yards per play. They give up just 5.5. You know, so if you were to see that, you'd think they'd be a 7-6 team with a slight edge, you know, in points per game. So something doesn't jive there, and I think the recent results are more indicative of the competitiveness of the Bears than maybe the early results this year.
I noticed that's the theme this week, Steve. We have a lot of 3-point home dogs. with playing teams that are out of the playoffs, getting 3 points at home, playing against teams in supposed must-win situations, laying three. So we got the Redskins laying three on the road against the Bears. Falcons laying three on the road against the Panthers. I think we have another live dog here, Steve. I mean, the Panthers have been my nemesis. They've killed me. I've ridden their bandwagon, and I stayed on for too long, and I fell off and broke my leg doing it. And now, I don't think they want to... I think they want to get back to 8-8. We've seen them in the past not quit, Steve, and go on runs late in the season. Cam Newton's one of these on-again, off-again guys. If he's smiley and happy, he's good. If he's pouting, he sucks. They've won a couple of weeks in a row now. The Falcons ruined their perfect season last year. They beat them earlier this year. The Panthers are going to want to win this game, and they're not even mathematically eliminated. I ask you about this. I know you do the Charlotte hit, so I'm sure you've talked about this game. Yeah. I think we got a live dog here with the Panthers, another outright winner.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm impressed that you know that, because I normally do the Charlotte hit right after this at 2:30 Eastern, but we did it early this week because they're not on today on Friday. And they asked me about this game, and at the end they joke, they go, what's a better bet, the Panthers making the playoffs or me buying the lottery ticket? And I didn't know until they told me that the Panthers are actually still technically alive in the playoffs. Yeah, so I just found that out the other day through my Charlotte show. But it's somewhat important because, I mean, I don't think it matters that much, but it means they're not going to toss the towel. And we've obviously seen that the last 2 weeks with double-digit wins against both the Chargers and the Redskins now on Monday night. Now, I do bring up the scheduling situation again because this is the same spot the Redskins are in. They're having to play, the Panthers are having to play on just 4 days' rest. Difference, though, is that they're back at home. They're not on the road. Yeah. So they actually have an extra day because you lose a day when you have to travel. So I don't think the 4 day of rest factor is as much of an issue in this game as it is for the Redskins on the road. Carolina was in a terrible spot at Seattle. They really kind of gave up on that game a few weeks ago, but they have played hard the last 2 weeks. So I think you could take a chance backing them here that they're still trying to make an effort to win.
And a point about the Redskins as well, Steve, you mentioned that short rest, is the fact that it's an afternoon game, too.
Yeah.
It's an early game. So think, if you're playing on Sunday, then you're playing Thursday night. At least it's at night, right? They just played Monday night. Now they're going to be playing Saturday afternoon. In the afternoon. It just feels weird. Like, even now, it's Friday, Steve. I don't feel like there's NFL football in 24 hours. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't put my picks in the Super Contest yet, Heath. And I'm like, oh, and the deadline's at 6, actually. All right, so last one here. Another three-point game, except the point spread, this one is a little bit bizarre here with the Bucs and the Saints. What do you make of this one?
Yeah, this is an interesting situation where, you know, these two teams played just, 3 weeks ago, and we had that unbelievably low-scoring 16-11 game with Tampa and New Orleans. And, you know, it was very bizarre because the over actually looked like a good play in that game. Now in the rematch, I think the over is worth a look. I'm not sold on this Tampa Bay defense, though. Everybody talks about how great this defense has improved over the last month. But keep in mind, right before that, they gave up a franchise record over 600 yards to Oakland. They gave up 43 points the next game at home against Atlanta. They then shut down Chicago, Kansas City, a struggling Seattle team on the road in a bad spot. But then last Sunday night, Tampa Bay allows Dak Prescott, who struggled the week before, to go 32 for 36. That just shows this is still not a good Tampa defense. Meanwhile, the Saints broke out of their little offensive funk, and they put up 48 points. They gave up 41. I think both quarterbacks have pretty good games in this one.
Yeah, so I think it's a track meet. In fact, you know what? Jameis Winston's my DraftKings quarterback. I like Breeze in this spot, but Winston was cheaper. And Winston's going to throw for three touchdown passes at least this week. I think.
Plus, he had three picks last week on Sunday night. Didn't play well. I always like to look for decent players to bounce back off of bad showings like that.
Yeah, and he'll find life. This will be a track meet this game. I agree. I think the over's worth. I think the Bucs. Listen, I understand it. If you're not buying fully with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or selling, Steve, but. You know, I see the Saints are 3.5-point favorites right now, man. Like,
I'm not buying that either. Yeah, no, I week one, I said Tampa and Oakland were my two surprise teams this year. So I'm just saying I don't think that Tampa defense is beyond mediocre still. I like the offense, and that's another reason I lean over here, because I do think they'll have a decent game against the Saints, who are definitely not worthy to be laying more than a field goal right now against a good team.
Steve Merrill, Merry Christmas, Steve. It's always a pleasure. We're not in on Mondays, crazy as it sounds. I would be, but it's like one of those like mandatory, statutory days.
Boxing Day.
Yeah, you can't force people to come in. So we'll catch up with you on Friday. And Michigan play Florida State, and it'll be the day before the Final Four of the college football playoffs. So we'll have a lot to break down on Friday. Merry Christmas.
You too, Gabe. Thank you.
There's Steve Merrill with us. All right, we take a quick break. Greg Sussman joins us next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We are live on this Christmas Eve Eve. Like I just, we were talking about with Steve Merrill. I don't know, like we're used to football on Saturdays. Last week we had that one crap game on Saturday night. But over the years, there's always been Saturday afternoon football, usually starting in like, you know, mid-December or so. So it's not a foreign concept to us, but I don't know, like the holidays, I'm not really feeling too Christmassy or anything like that. And it's just bizarre that it's Friday and there's a full stack of NFL games in like 24 hours. I'm feeling a lot of underdogs this week, guys. And of course, there's 2 weeks left in the regular season. And it's Fantasy Football Championship weekend as well. I am alive in one final. We're playing for $1,600 to the winner. I get $800 consolation prize. The second place isn't bad, but I was in a bunch of leagues and whatever. I lost another one in the semis last week. Let's bring in Mr. Fantasy, Greg Sussman. Greg, it's always a pleasure. Happy holidays. How you doing, man?
Hey, happy holidays. Happy Festivus, Gabe.
Yeah, it is. It's Festivus today. I got a lot of problems with you people. that's a great episode. Not just, you know, the whole Festivus part, but Kramer working at the bagel shop.
Yeah.
It's a great episode. But nevertheless, I was thinking, though, you know, this, the head-to-head stuff is cool because you get standings in season-long fantasy football leagues. But the randomness of playoff time, Greg, is so freaking frustrating. And I'm starting to wonder, like, maybe next year I'm going to, you know, I'm in a couple of leagues. Maybe I'm going to run a league, you know, where we're going to have total points. Because it almost seems like that's the, you know, who had the best team in fantasy football? Who scored the most points, right? We get into this crap. I got a guy, like, I beat a guy. The poor guy had 130 points. I had 132. We got another dude that advanced to the final, and he had, like, 98 points. Like, it's ridiculous.
We always said that the best way that we can come up with it, because you want that head-to-head aspect, right? Like, you want to be able to face the friend and be able to talk crap to them. We figured that the best way to do it was to award 2 points per week. One if you finish in the top half of the scorers, and the other one if you beat your opponent. So you don't get screwed for losing 140 to 135. So you're able to at least get something for putting up a ton of points when your opponent, you just get unlucky, right? Like, you want to take the luck as much as possible out of fantasy football. I found that two wins a week is the best way to do that.
And we've seen time and time again as well, Greg, you get to championship weekend and you know, you have a lot of the best players. Well, a lot of the best players are often on the best teams that have already wrapped stuff up. Now, this year, for the most part, everything's still pretty open, but a good example is Dallas Cowboys right now. They've just locked everything up. You've got Elliott. You're going into the finals. You're thinking, oh, this is awesome. I've got Elliott. I'm going into the finals. We don't know what Garrett's going to do. I know Jerry Jones is going on radio. Oh, no, everyone's going to play. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. They ain't going to play. Like, how long do they play? You know, if you have Dak Prescott, is he going to get out? Is Romo going to get in? Look, Matt Moore last week, 4 touchdowns. It's just so freaking random the last couple of weeks.
It's very hard to predict. Going to Dallas, both Jason Garrett and Jerry Jones have said they're going to play. Whatever that means, which is obviously nothing. I think Ezekiel Elliott wants that rookie rushing record, which is about 250 yards away from. So if there's one guy I trust in Dallas right now, it's Ezekiel Elliott. When it comes to Dak Prescott, let's think about it from a logical standpoint. They don't play for another few weeks, so they're going to want to get the rookie some more time. This is also their last home game, their best season in years. Tony Romo is healthy. The last home game, you don't think they're going to get Romo in at some point in this game. If I have Dak Prescott in my championship game, I'm not playing him. So then there's only one more guy we have to consider, and that's Dez Bryant. And that is a total question mark to me because I think Dez wants to play. Yeah. I think they want him to play, but he's the one that's always banged up. He always has these litany of injuries.
Yeah, he's been around forever. He'll be happy. Hey, we're good, man. I can see him being the cheerleader on the sidelines.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like, exactly.
Being pumped when some no-name guy scores a touchdown and going crazy for him. That he'll be thrilled with that.
Yeah, it's so random. But conversely, the Detroit Lions, they're going to be busting their balls. They need to win this game. But let's kick the tires on a couple of these things. Tom Brady, I benched him last week. I put Kirk Cousins in. You know, Brady had 7 fantasy points. Cousins had 8. I still won barely because of Greg Olsen had a big night. I'm going back to Brady this week. And it's funny, earlier in the week, I was sort of like, he doesn't play as well against the Jets. The numbers aren't there. But now that it's coming, and we see he's the most expensive guy on DraftKings, and I start to see, and you see Matt Moore last week, I start to feel pretty comfortable with Tom Brady this week. You know, he should throw, I'm hoping, for 3 touchdown passes.
I would say it's hard to ever say you don't feel comfortable with Tom Brady. Like, I'm shocked you actually benched him last week. Even though the matchup said to bench him, that's a really hard trigger.
It was ballsy, for $1,600 in a semifinal matchup.
I could not believe that because I lost the matchup when I didn't bench Seattle in Green Bay. Because I was like, oh, it's Seattle. Like, what's the worst that can happen? Negative points happen. And those negative points cost me a chance to go to the finals, as it turned out. But I think Brady against the Jets, I know they don't normally play well, but they're at home, a chance to clinch everything. I think those 3 touchdowns are definitely a possibility.
All right, David Johnson. I'm seeing a lot of rankings, and a lot of people love David Johnson this week. You know, it's tough. I mean, Seattle seemed to shut down bad running games, but I look back to that game, and I don't know how he put up 113 yards on the ground and 58 in the air in a 6-6 tie, but he managed to do it. So he has played well, and he has put up numbers against the Seahawks before. Carson Palmer's so damn bad right now, Greg. I imagine that they don't want to get him killed. Johnson's going to get a lot of touches. What's your take on Johnson this week?
What are you going to do with David Johnson? You going to put him on the bench? Because he's basically he's the most consistent player, better than Ezekiel Elliott, better than Le'Veon Bell with what he does in the passing game and in the running game. I know, like you said, Gabe, you just read the stats. In a 6-6 game, he had 25 points without scoring a touchdown. That's insane. And I think this Sunday, I think it's going to be a close game. I think it'll be a low scoring game. But David Johnson's going to get his. They have Larry Fitzgerald, obviously. They want to protect Carson Palmer. But the best way to do that is by giving it to David Johnson. You said it. I think David Johnson, top 5 running back, as he has been all year long, as he will be next year as well.
All right, the guy I'm playing in the finals has Le'Veon Bell as one of his running backs. And I'm just praying to God, man, that the Ravens defense can step up on Christmas. But last 3 times they played in the series, 21-14, 2017, 23-20. This is essentially a playoff game, Greg. It's bottom line. This is a playoff game. Yep. I know everyone, all fantasy numbers guys, we're all aware of the splits and the dichotomy of Ben and Brown and Bell at home. Well, Bell's just a monster everywhere, but we know that Pittsburgh plays better at home. But I'm kind of fortunate that, all right, I got the Baltimore Ravens here. What's your feeling on this game? Because I look at this game, and I think we're looking at a 16-13 smash-mouth-style game. The last thing Harbaugh wants to do is get into a track meet.
So I read on the MMQB this week, there's a great oral history of the Ravens and the Steelers. And these 2 teams hate each other. They absolutely despise each other from the beginning to end. And you're right, Harbaugh wants nothing to do with the track meet. I think Mike Tomlin would love to make it fly. But I don't think that could happen against this Ravens defense, who statistically is the best defense in football. You saw what happened to the Steelers the last time they played. It's a different animal when you're at home, no question. But this Baltimore defense, which hadn't let up a rushing touchdown, really, with 4 rushing touchdowns all year until LeGarrette Blount faced them. This Ravens defense is just absolutely fantastic. You know they're going to step up in this game against Antonio Brown, Big Ben, and Le'Veon Bell. And I think, if nothing else, they'll control them, right? Like, I don't know if they're stopping them, but I think there's something to be said for at least containing them. I think that's what happens on Sunday.
All right, we've only got a couple of minutes left here, so 2 players I want to throw. Todd Gurley has been a major disappointment this year, but, you know, better late than never if somebody owns Todd Gurley. And even from a DFS perspective, playing against the San Francisco 49ers, I've been very good with Gurley, man. I've jumped on and off the last couple of weeks, and I've known where. And he hasn't been great, but at times he can give you 17 fantasy points or so. But nevertheless, you know, I think that he might put a smile on some people's faces this week.
Gabe, I want to know how many fantasy owners that drafted Todd Gurley in the first round are still playing this week. That's my big question.
That's a good question. Yeah,
like, you drafted Todd Gurley. Like, you drafted him for this week, right? You saw in the finals he played San Francisco. Yeah. And you're like, wow, if I can just get there, I'm going to win. There's no way you are there this
That's
week.
A great point. If you took Gurley there, I know. That's like me in the fantasy cup. I had Watkins. Right. I'm dead. Like, you know what I mean? All right, so finally in closing, a guy that I have actually on my team, and man, he's been regressing, man. The last 4 weeks, I think, what is it? He's had 7.9 DK points or less in 3 of the last 4 games, and I'm talking about Amari Cooper, man.
The drops for Amari Cooper have been a problem. And for whatever reason, the defense has decided that they're going to take out Amari Cooper. And that was kind of the situation earlier in the year. They take out Cooper and Crabtree went off. And then as the season went on, they did it the other way. They would stop Crabtree and Cooper would go off. Over the last few games, really ever since Derek Carr hurt his finger, this offense has been a little bit different, always out of the shotgun, and they have been able to either A, take out Cooper, or frustrate him enough that he constantly is just giving up on routes or he's dropping the football. The odds say he's going to bounce back this week, he'll bounce back next year. You have Amari Cooper, you hope for the best, but I once again think it's going to be a Michael Crabtree game against Indianapolis.
You know, the only thing that helps me sleep at night here with Cooper is the fact that they're playing the Colts and it should be a track meet, right?
You'd hope so.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, he's down with the catch. He was hurt last year and he has less catches this year. I don't get it. Like, weird. You know, it is. And, you know, he seems lost at times. It's just he's a little rattled for one reason or another. But, Greg, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. We'll catch up with you in a new year. All the best, man.
Absolutely. Happy holidays and happy new year, Gabe.
There's Greg Sussman with us. We take a quick break. Babano, a.k.a. Ian Cameron from SportsMemo.com, joins me next. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, it's 10-0 at the half in the Popeyes Bowl. Popeyes Bahamas Bowl, 10-0 for Old Dominion. The number, Old Dominion's plus a half a point. Plus a half a point in the second half. Total is 28.5. Recently, the bowl games have opened up in the second half. Both coaches are going to be upset that the kids aren't bringing it right now. But nevertheless, I think I just played Old Dominion over 13.5 in the second half and Eastern Michigan over 13.5. And I'm just praying somehow this game gets to 53, which I have no hope in hell of getting. All right, let's bring in Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, from SportsMemo.com. We've only got about 7-8 minutes, so let's jump right in here. Ian, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Always a pleasure, my man. And I was just talking with Greg Sussman from Roto Experts and SportsGrid.com about the Colts and the Raiders game and about how it should. A lot of fantasy people have high hopes for the players that are playing in this game. Sometimes these overs that seem like obvious overs don't cash. Last week, a lot of people loved the Raiders and the Chargers to go over the number, but I didn't bite, and I usually bite when it comes to totals. But to me, this Colts-Raider game does have the makings of a track meet, doesn't it?
It sure does. I mean, that's definitely the way I'd look in this game over the total. Makes a lot of sense to me because when you look at the Colts and recent games, people are starting to make a little bit too much of a big deal with this so-called defensive turnaround. Well, hold on now. Look at the opponents that the Colts have played in this so-called improvement in their defense. Minnesota, whose offense has been inept all season long, probably the worst offensive line in all of football. The Houston Texans with Brock Osweiler at quarterback, who has been a disaster for the Texans. So bad that now Tom Savage is starting for them, and then the Jets the week before that, and the Jets have been a team that has quit down the stretch of this season based on their last few games. So really, Indianapolis's defense has feasted on some weak, putrid offensive teams. When they've stepped up in class, Gabe, against good offensive teams, we've seen the results. Green Bay's able to move the ball, put up 26. Kansas City hung 30 points on them. Chicago moved the ball well against them. The Lions shredded them in the very first game of the season. So against better offenses and quarterbacks, the Colts defense, I don't trust. Now, they are healthier than they were earlier in the season, but I think Oakland's going to be able to move the ball. And don't be fooled by Oakland putting up 19 points last week against San Diego. Turnovers, red zone miscues, just a bunch of problems once they got inside San Diego territory last week. They could have scored 30 on the Chargers last week, but mistakes, which you don't usually see from Derek Carr in this offense, really kept them from exploding on the scoreboard. I think that changes in this game. We've got the Colts 6-1 over the total on the road. Oakland 6-1 over the total at home. The trends are in our favor too. So I do expect this to be somewhat of a shootout.
Yeah, the Colts are 8-6 to the over on the season. The Raiders are now 10-4 to the over on the season. Impressive about the Colts 4-0 their last four road games. They scored 31 points or more in all four of those games. It feels like it could be somewhat of a letdown and a trap for the Raiders. But the odds makers have caught on to this because really, The Raiders, you know, if you look at their record and you look at the Colts, Raiders should be 6-point favorites in this game. But the odds makers don't want to give that many points to the Colts because they know it's probably going to come down to whoever has the ball last in this football game. But so I was sort of thinking, well, the Raiders, they clinched their playoff spot last week. And just human nature, you know, they went out. You just know, you know, there's sort of a burden off of their, you know, off of them. But the fact is, they're still trying to nail down the division title. They're still trying to nail down home field advantage. There's still a whole hell of a lot to play for. So I'm not going to really, you know, talk myself into that angle. But I do think there's going to be some points put up on the board, which leads us into the Lions and the Cowboys, in which yesterday we had Warren Sharp on, and that's why his name is Warren Sharp. He stated, you know, if the Eagles take the Eagles parlayed with the Lions, because if the Eagles win, then the Cowboys won't need this game. The game was taken off the board briefly. I see it pop back up, and truth be told, there really wasn't that much of a difference. It went from like 7, 7.5 to 6, 6.5, Abano.
Yeah, obviously people are going to react to the fact the Giants lost to the Eagles last night means that Dallas clinches number one seed in the NFC and the NFC East crown. And the Detroit Lions certainly have very little room for error. They need winning games here down the stretch in these last 2 weeks like they need oxygen, basically. They need these wins desperately. One concern I have for Detroit is Darius Slay being out. I mean, that's playing at a Pro Bowl level was he in that Lions secondary. Could be a little bit of a weak spot that the Cowboys were able to pick on, but you just worry about the Dallas Cowboys mindset here. They're going to not rest starters. I expect everybody to play, obviously, but just that mindset, it's all about focus and intensity. They've had that now for weeks during this incredible run that they've put together, but now that they've sealed up the number one seed, you just worry if they're going to go full throttle in terms of their intensity level, even for a Monday night home game like this. Whereas for the Detroit Lions, they need to bounce back from that game against the New York Giants here. And let's be honest, the Dallas Cowboys, the point spread tax is in full effect with this team. It has been now for the last 4 weeks. They're 0-4 against the spread in their last four games after that incredible surge that they had, cashing tickets week in and week out. Now the sports books, now odds makers starting to get some of that money back that people were making on Dallas early in the season. No bargains to back this team. They beat Tampa Bay last week, did not get the money, only won by 6. And yeah, I could see something similar. Even if they win this game, I could see them winning by 3-6. I'm not convinced they win by more than a touchdown here.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it with the point spread tax, actually, because it's a good point. This is actually going to be their fifth consecutive nationally televised football game. And they're 0-4, 3-1 straight up, but 0-4 the last 4 weeks on national television. It's actually last 3 weeks have gone under the number as well. And that Redskins game would have went under the number. If you remember, the Skins scored a late touchdown and gave them the backdoor cover and pushed the game over the number. I think that's the last time something went well for me in the last minute of a game, actually, because I was on the Skins in the over. It's been a rough ride. But Babano, we got to get out of here. We encourage people to check out Babano over at sportsmemo.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Bobano, and you can get the links to the videos that he posts as well. Merry Christmas, happy holidays. Thanks for taking the time to be with us, Babano.
Merry Christmas, Gabe, and to all our viewers and listeners. What you going to do when the bookie comes after you? Put together two good winning weeks in the NFL. Let's all do that.
Ian Cameron. With sportsmemo.com, we come back with our plays of the day and our DraftKings lineup of the week. All right, it's time for our DraftKings lineup of the week. I would say millionaire maker, but it's $1,500 this week. And since I'm not a millionaire, I don't have $1,500 to enter a fantasy football tournament, but I have $3. But basically, you know, this lineup that I put together this week, guys, I don't see, it's not like a monster, oh, you're going to get 200 points with this lineup. But I think it's a solid head-to-head lineup. And individually, let's go down each player, and I'll tell you why. But I think we got a solid roster this week. So let's start off with Jameis Winston. This game's going to be a track meet. It's in the dome. I want to avoid weather as much as I can at this time of the year, and specifically wind as well. So I like the fact that this game is in a dome. I know that it was 16-11 when they played a couple of weeks ago or a month month ago, whatever it was. But nevertheless, we saw Breeze light it up last week. They put up 48. They gave up 41. There will be points in this football game. I like Breeze as well, but I like the fact that Winston's cheaper, so I went with Winston here. All right, let's talk about Jordan Howard, man. This dude's been a freaking workhorse. 99 yards or more on the ground in seven straight. He's got like 113 yards or more in like seven straight when you combine the receptions. Five touchdowns on this run. Jonathan Stewart went off against the Skins, guys. Skins are pretty bad against the run. He rushed for 132 yards at 5.3 yards a clip. I expect a lot of Jordan Howard touches on Saturday. Todd Gurley. Yeah, I know, guys. I know. But I've given you Todd Gurley twice in the last month, and those two times were the times when he went off for like 16 to 17 DK points, right? He goes off, you know, once and for all. Todd Gurley's going to have a big game against a San Francisco 49ers team that's absolutely freaking quit. They're giving up 176 yards. Take Todd Gurley. I like Gurley here. All right, Brandon Cook's been targeted 27 times since being shut up 4 weeks ago. I wanted some exposure to the New Orleans side of things in this Buccaneers-Saints game that I think is going to be a track meet. All right, let's go with my boy Gabriel on the Falcons. Another high-scoring game. All right, Atlanta and Carolina, they always put points up on the board when they play against each other. Even if Julio Jones gets more touches, Gabriel has implemented himself into this offense. The kid makes plays, going to give us 15 to 20 DK points in this matchup, all right? I just liked it better when he was $3,000 as opposed to $62. Doug Baldwin. Baldwin's my boy, man. I wish he would score more touchdowns, but Russell Wilson looks for him. And I know Arizona have a reputation of having this great secondary and stuff. Yeah, it was so great. Drew Brees carved him up. Honey Badger's getting carved up, all right? People are spreading him on bread, man. He's given up the fifth most receptions to wide receivers. Don't look now, man, but Cameron Brate, the tight end has sort of been a wasteland all season in fantasy, but Brate leads all tight ends in the NFL with seven touchdowns, $3,900 in the track meet. I don't take Jarvis Landry a lot, but I think he is going to pop one against the Buffalo Bills, and the Bears defense been playing good. 13 sacks in the last three games. They sacked Rodgers four times last week. They're going to make Kirk Cousins' life hell. All right, let's get to our plays of the day. Louisiana Tech minus seven coming up in a couple hours. Louisiana Tech and Navy over 67.5. We're going to tease Louisiana Tech to the over. We're going to lay the points with Troy. I liked it better when it was 4 than 5.5, but I don't trust MAC teams in bowl games. Toronto Raptors. Utah's not playing very good basketball. Utah just can't score. They're a good team. The Raptors are better. It's a tough spot for the Raptors, but I like the Raptors in this short price zone here tonight. Minus 125 on the money line. Clippers beat the Spurs last night, and I don't know why the Spurs always screw me, but they do. Totally lethargic last night, guys, but the Mavericks blow. Clippers only laying 6.5. We'll lay the 6.5, and finally in closing, last time Columbus played the Habs, they killed him in Columbus. I don't know if they killed him, but they beat him. Other night, you're on your own, may the winners be yours.